Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to have you today. Praise the Lord. Now then that we're all settled in, I have something to say about what Dave said. I remember when I was trying my best to teach people how to walk in faith, just to get rid of a headache, and how much trouble it was, and how hard it was to teach you how to be an overcomer. And so after 30 years of teaching that, trying to do it, doing the best I knew how, one day I thought, I think I've taught some of them how to walk in divine health. I believe I finally got there. So now then I'm going to take that John 8 and John 11, and I'm going to teach them they don't have to die. Oh my goodness gracious alive, did I catch flack for that. I mean, it's almost as bad as it was whenever I began to teach them John 20:23, that you could forgive somebody else's sins.
Yes.
I mean, you've lost your mind, Thurman. You know you can't forgive sin. I thought, well, that's exactly what they told Jesus.
Right.
When Jesus said, I forgive your sin, they said, he's crazy. He has a demon. And then I had two or three different pastors contact me personally and say, you know, Thurman, you know, this nonsense about healing that you're teaching, that everybody can be healed, even though the word says, clearly says, if you forgive all of my iniquities, then you heal.
All.
Oh my goodness, some of y'all remember that. I mean, that's not what that means, ladies and gentlemen. That doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean God will forgive all your iniquity. It doesn't mean he'll heal all your diseases. Then praise God, what does it mean? Is that true? What does it mean? It means what it says?
Yes.
Oh my goodness gracious alive. So anyway, since it does mean what it says, I've got a couple of testimonies today I want us to talk about. And the first one is a missionary couple that came here, and she heard my story about the milk. Would you come up here, honey, and tell these people what happened to you? What did I do with the, there it is. Let me see if I can get this thing. All right. Now this girl, she, in other words, first thing she did wrong, she went to church.
Oh.
Oh my goodness. She learned something at church she didn't learn nowhere. Okay, tell us what happened, honey.
Okay. Yeah, my family and I, we travel full time. We've been on the road for about 4 years, and we've just seen God's blessings by the day, every day, you know, just how he pours out his blessings. And so last Saturday, I came to the healing school here, and you were telling the story about the milk and about how you were gone for 3 weeks and you came back and, you know, you were trusting God by faith that the milk hadn't spoiled. And so anyway, it was a timely story because the very next day, our refrigerator is empty, and as always, God just brings what we need. And so 3 campers down, we have some friends, and they were house-sitting for their pastor. And their pastor called them and said, we're going to be gone longer than we said we would, so clean out the refrigerator and go ahead and take everything home. And my friend called me. She's like, you know, an RV refrigerator is very small, and she couldn't fit everything in, and could we use some food? And I'm like, sure, that'd be great. And so she brought over the food, and there was some milk. And it had expired a week and a half before that. And normally I would have just gone and dumped it all out. And I remember your story, and I was like, you know, the Lord can do the same thing for us. And so we used it for pancakes and used it for everything. I actually have to admit, I didn't tell the kids till a few days afterwards. I'm like, you know, we're still here. And so.
Isn't that something? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Now you see how dangerous it can be to come to church where people tell wild stories.
Yes.
To think that somebody would come to a church where you say, if you didn't put God to the test and you'd been gone 3 weeks and you come back and the refrigerator had a gallon of milk in it, about half of it left. Your wife reaches in, and of course she's just been married to you as a faith woman now for just a few months. Cheryl was not near the faith woman then, she is today. Today she's a faith woman.
Yes.
But then she was learning, like I had been. But anyway, when she took that milk out of the refrigerator and looked at the date, and it's 3 weeks past the date, She just starts to pour it out. And I said, honey, what are you doing? She said, well, honey, the date on this is 3 weeks overdue. I said, but we weren't here. We couldn't have drinked it, so we're not putting God to the test. I said, if we'd have been here, we should have drank it, because if you just put it in the refrigerator and leave it for 3 weeks thinking, well, I'm going to wait 3 weeks and then I'm going to see how it is, that's putting God to the test. And he said, don't put me to the test. But we wasn't putting him to the test. We were gone. So I said, there's not anything wrong with that milk. And she said, honey, it's 3 weeks past the date. And I said, that doesn't make any difference. God can make that milk good 6 months past the date. So I said, pour me a glass. She said, are you really going to drink that? I said, yes, pour me a glass of it. So she starts pouring, and when she starts pouring, this will tell you where her faith was. Well, it's not coming out in lumps. See, you can tell where our faith is by what comes out of our mouth, because what comes out of our mouth comes out of our heart. And so she said, well, at least it's not coming out in lumps. So I said, no, of course it's good. And so she filled the glass up, and I started right to my mouth, and she said, aren't you going to at least smell of it? I said, no, that would be unbelief, and then it would turn sour. So I said, no, it's perfect, and I just drink it down. And she said, is it really good? I said, of course it is. She said, well, let me have a taste. So I hand her the glass, and she says, well, it smells okay. Now, can't y'all see where my honey bunny's faith was back in those days? Yeah, bottom of the barrel, she said. But let me tell you, she's not there now. This girl has faith. I mean, she can see miracles and healings, and she's really a faith woman. But she's been married to me, and me and her have had a 24/7 Bible study for the last 12 years. That will change anybody, right? I mean, you know, when you live with a man of faith, because, you know, for 12 years like she has, you will learn some things. And you will see him do things. You'll see him pray for people. And then you'll get to where you think, hey, he used this scripture. This worked. It works. And so now Cheryl's not like that. I mean, now she believes and she sees all kinds of things. And we've had all kinds of miracles and healings and everything else. But we pray for you. And we've started a new thing out here. We don't care what you have. We're going to pray for you for a miracle and a healing. We don't want nobody to go away with the promises we have from God. We realize the unbelief we live in. Just like when Dave started to talk to you about you shall never die. When I started teaching that probably 10, 15 years ago, I caught so much flack from so many people. I thought, you know, Lord, when I get them where I can teach them all how to walk in divine health, then I'll start teaching them they don't have to die. But so far, I have not accomplished the first part. I still have people that come to me that can't get healed. But some of them do get healed. Amen. Do you want to give your testimony?
Oh, absolutely.
Come up here, honey, and let's let her. This one's a healing. That one was a milk back there. This girl had a problem. And we want her to tell you what Jesus did for her. Hold it up close so they can hear
okay.
you.
Never had a problem anybody hearing me. But anyway. When I first started coming here in August, I came up after hearing the service and had Pastor and Cheryl pray for me. And they prayed for me. I said, oh, okay. So I was just like, well, I'm trying to believe here. But I just started coming here again in August. I've been going to church for many years. And so I went home and I kept coming to church, kept reading the Word, got his tapes, listening to his tapes. Now, I said I had 9 surgeries. I've actually had 10 because the Lord brought another one while I was sitting on the pew to me. Wow. I've had over 40 procedures done. I have been diagnosed with fibromyalgia, which it took me 2 years to get diagnosed with that. And I actually thought I was crazy because I thought no one could have this much pain and not be dying. Bursitis, arthritis. My spinal cord looked like an accordion because I was run over when I was 5. I have had neck fusions. Now, that's my next belief, is to get rid of the metal in my body.
Amen.
So anyway, I have it all over. Well, so I came and I keep getting my faith built. I have not been able to sleep for years. I'm talking the most I was up was 4 days. My husband will testify because he would say to me, Paula,
you need to write something down, because when you OD on all those drugs you're taking, I want them to know it wasn't me that killed you. Because he said, you take enough to knock a horse out, and I would still be awake. Yeah. I still would not sleep. I don't know if anyone has ever had insomnia to that point, but it's absolutely miserable. The devil will do all kind of things to you when you're wore out and tired. But anyway, and still keeping a job, still taking care of a husband, grandkids, everything. So anyway, I came out here, it was, I believe, 3 weeks ago. I went to Mike and to Gracie. I was just led to them, because I was asking the Lord, lead me to where I need to go, who I need to speak with. I was thinking about Jeff, actually, but the Lord moved in my heart, I needed a woman and a husband to believe, and the line was long here, so I said, I'm going to go to Mike and Gracie. Well, I told them about everything, and I have a list of drugs that literally, my husband can testify to this, if I held the list up here, it would hit the floor. I had a canning thing that I used to make pear preserves in, because I'm from East Texas, so I'd cook down my pears and stuff, full of drugs, but I wouldn't take them. I would just take the pain. I would just take the pain and said, I'm not going to take that mess. I don't want it. I would get to a point to where mentally I would break down from dealing with chronic pain, which mentally you will break down if you deal with chronic pain all the time. And I used to say, God put the grit in my craw to live with all this pain. Well, God didn't put the grit in my craw to live with all this pain, but I thought he did. I thought he was giving me the strength to deal with pain so unimaginable that most people would actually be in the emergency room. And I can't tell you how many emergency room visits I've had. My husband can testify, because I would just get to a point where I couldn't take it. Well, I said, I'm not taking that junk. Well, my pain management doctor said, well, if you're not going to take it, I'm not going to see you anymore. And I said, well, okay, fine, I'm not going to take it. So he said, okay. So I have people that want my help and you don't. I said, okay, so that's fine. I'll just deal with the pain. So they prayed for me for the sleep issues. I was telling them about the sleep issues and all the stuff that was going through my mind and everything. And so now all this time I'm listening to Pastor Thurman's tape. Every chance I get, the tape's in, the DVDs are in. You know, my grandchildren are listening to them. My husband will walk through the house, their own, whatever. I have them on. So they prayed for me, and they told me some things that I totally believe the Lord laid on their heart to tell me. So I said, okay, I'm going to stand on this. When I came last Sunday, the healing school in that Sunday, I was in so much pain. Of course, no one knew it, but I was in so much pain. I literally thought I was going to leave the service and go to the emergency room. And I kept saying, fighting it in my mind, no, no, no. But I could hardly sit because I had slip disc, decompressed disc, everything. The pain was just getting up. I couldn't get down and pick something up without getting back on and holding onto the wall to crawl up it. And I keep a lot of this from my husband because I feel like, who wants to be around someone that's always saying, oh, you know, hurting and stuff. So I try. He'll know, but he'll just look at me sometimes and say cement. And I'll just kind of shake my head because with fibromyalgia, the only way I could ever explain it was if you were poured in wet cement up to your neck and it started drying and the pressure in, that's the only way. And God gave that to me to describe. I know he brought it to me because of this testimony right now today of what I was going to give. So last Sunday, they prayed for me. I told them, I said, I have been fighting taking, because I do keep pain pills, but the pain pills would be like the script was 5 years old. And I told him, I said, man, I'm not going to take a pain pill, but I want to. I said, I didn't come to the ER. I came to church, but I'm just at a breaking point. So Mike and Gracie prayed. We spoke some other things to me and everything. So I left, and I barely got out of here, got to the car, and I went home. And Dave had talked about his healing again, which he's talked about a lot. So what I did was I went home, and I put in Dave's DVD. Now, I've listened to some of it, but I never watched it. I highly recommend y'all watch that DVD. Because I'm watching it, and then I start beating up on myself, and I'm saying, Paula, you are such a weak Christian. How could God ever heal you from your unbelief when Dave, oh my gosh, what that man suffered was unimaginable. And I thought, what he sees on the outside of his body is what I feel like on the inside of my body. Then I got mad. And I said, you know what? I watched that whole DVD, listened to his wife speak, which was a blessing. And then pastor finished the service. And so I got mad and I got up and I said, I'm not doing this. I'm done here. And I kept going around the house, and I kept praising the Lord, and I kept saying, I'm healed, I'm healed, I know I'm healed. He's no respecter of persons. I kept, and then the Lord laid on me. I came in Sunday from church, and I went to my husband, and I said, Rick, I got something to tell you. And he said, okay. I said, I'm not watching TV no more. And he said, okay. I said, not that I watched anything bad. Well, it was bad, because, you know, I love true murder. That's bad. If murder's a sin, watching it's a sin. I would watch those 2020 and Datelines and all that stuff, you know. I said, I'm not watching TV anymore. And in the back of my mind, honestly, the devil bought Dancing with the Stars is fixing to start. Dancing with the Stars. Well, that's my show, you know. And I'm like, So I got everything down. He goes upstairs, and I stay downstairs. And Dave said in his testimony, and he has said here in the church too, he asked the Lord, why did it take so long for you to heal me? You know, I serve you. I go to church. I speak to people about you. I do everything that I can, that I know that I can for you. And he said the Lord spoke to him and said, I don't know you. He said, what do you mean you don't know me? And he said, you know, intimately, that intimate relationship. Well, I thought I spent enough time with the Lord every day. But the Lord laid on my heart, no. And I said, Lord, I don't want it to take 18 months to heal me. I don't want 18 months, and I'm going to believe for my healing. I had no idea that my healing would come within this last week. I stopped watching TV. I started getting more in the Word. I got my Smith Wigglesworth. I read his devotional every day, but I got his book, Only Believe and stuff. That'll really build your faith. And I kept listening to the words that Gracie and Mike told me, and I kept using those principles and what the pastor said. And every time he'd say something, I'd say, that's me. Delay is not denial. Delay is not denial. I wrote that inside my Bible years ago. It's for my healing. Delay wasn't denial. I just needed to get my stinking thinking in order and realize what God has for anyone else, He also has for me. I prayed for people and would stand with them to move mountains and believe it without a shadow of a doubt. But Cheryl had told me when I came up the first time to get prayer, when I told her some of the things that was wrong with me, she said, you don't love yourself. And you know, it's so true. There's so many of us women, I know, that don't love ourselves and don't think we're worthy of love. And I didn't have, my father died when I was so young and left 6 children. And I was in a women's ministry one day, and I'll stop after this, but it was a light that came on to me, and I hope it comes on to someone here. And I heard Dodie was leading the women's service that day, and she said, you know, I didn't have an earthly father. All I had was a heavenly father. And I asked the Lord, Lord, why can't I believe that I am worthy to be loved? She says, I didn't have an earthly father. There are fathers I look at and I say, oh my gosh, if I'd have known, I wonder if my daddy held me like that. I wonder if my daddy would be proud of me. I wonder if my daddy would think my grandkids or my children. I always wonder, I wonder what kind of pie my daddy liked to eat. I never knew. These simple things that so many, I never knew that. And so when she said that I never had a good earthly father that showed me a love that I could relate to. And she said that when I finally realized my heavenly father is the same father, the same daddy that any of us need, man, the skies rolled back and the light came on. And I was like, wow, that's what it is. I didn't know how to accept or to love for anything with a father love because I didn't have a fatherly example here on earth. But thank God all we need is Him.
Amen. Amen.
Thank y'all.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now she is healed.
Yes.
She is healed. Praise the Lord.
Can I get a testimony real quick?
Okay. Praise the Lord. Tell us.
Okay. I started coming here in 2012, and it's like she said, it's really hard to turn off the world. But I gave up The Young and the Restless. And you realize when you quit it, what a difference it makes in your life.
Yes. Right.
And I'm not going to get into details, but if I was still watching soap operas and not walking in the Word, my ex wouldn't be having such a great life today. Because I learned a lot in those soap operas on how to break things down. But what I want to talk about is tithing. Because at my lowest point, January 2014, I said, you know, I'm just going to do it. And I started saying, I said, Lord, I want a $300,000 listing. So I just kept speaking it to my friends. I said, you know, things don't look good, but I got a $300,000 listing coming. So, to make a long story short, I gave 10%. I got a $395,000 listing that sold to 363. So I gave 10%, and God gave me mine plus 20% more than that.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. That's a good testimony. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. So if I can teach you that giving, the Lord did say, and I've made this statement many times in this church, Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man give into your bosom, because with the same measure you use to give, shall it be returned unto you. Is that what he said?
Amen.
And people come up all the time to me and tell me, I need a financial blessing. I said, well, you're out of touch with God. If you're in touch with God and you're doing what he says, you are going to church and you are giving. I don't know about you. I have people ask me this question all the time. Do I tithe off of the gross or the net? I said, well, I don't want you to be blessed off of either one of those. So why don't you take your gross and don't give a tithe off of gross. Give something significantly above a gross in tithe and just give it to God and say, here, God, I'm just going to share my wealth with you. Now, that might be, you might have a $10,000 deal or $20,000, $5,000. That might be $50. There ain't no telling, but I will say that you cannot outgive God. I've told y'all many a time that whenever I started, when I was in the military, I was up at Perry Air Force Base, which is right up here north of Denton. And I was in the Air Force, and I went to church at a little Baptist church there on Sunday morning. And when the offering plates pass, which we do as Baptists, you know, I used to put a dollar bill in the offering plate. I mean, a dollar, because I made $40 a week, you know. So making $40 a week, that means I technically should have been putting $4 of that in there. But I didn't see there was no way I could make it because I wasn't making it. And so I thought, well, I'll just put a dollar in the plate. And then one morning, the pastor was teaching on giving. And he said, you know, there is people here that will come to this church and enjoy the grace of God and the miracles of God. And of course, you know, when he said miracles, you know, we didn't think about healing or tithing or not. You know, that's a totally different thing what it used to mean to me. But anyway, he said, you enjoy the benefits of the kingdom of God. And when the offering plate is passed, you put a dollar in the offering plate. And when I looked up, that finger was pointing right down my nose. And I thought, how did he know? He didn't know. He didn't see me put that dollar in that offering plate. But guess who did? The Lord. You can't outgive God. I mean, so anyway, I went home and told my wife, I said, you know, I don't know how we're going to do it, but we got to start giving more than a dollar. We're going to start giving at least four. I said, you know, everywhere it talks about tithe in the old covenant, that was 10% of what they had. So I said, we're going to start giving at least 10% of everything we have. My wife said, honey, we can't make it on what we're doing now. So how are you going to make it if you give from $1 to $4? I said, I don't know. That ain't my problem. That's God's problem. I'm his son. I'm going to give. And so we started giving and started giving 10% and more than 10% and more than 10% and more than 10%. And today, I am grateful to say that the property that this church is sitting on, I bought this land years ago, 40 years ago. I bought this piece of property, and then about 10 or 15 years after that, I bought the 50 acres that's over here on this side. That piece of land over there cost me about $100,000 when I bought it. This one cost me about $50,000 when I bought it. So I've got $150,000 tied up in this land that we're out here on. It's all paid for, been paid for years. A man came to me the other day and wanted to give me $690,000 for half of this over here, and I wouldn't take it. I prayed and I said, Lord, what do I do? And he says, don't sell it. So I said, okay, I'm not going to sell it. So I said, sir, I don't. He said, sir, this is an extremely good price for this piece of property. I said, you know, it may be, but I don't have to sell it. I'm not not in a need to sell it. I don't have a need. I said, everything I own is paid for. I've got money in the bank. I don't have to worry about where I'm going to eat next week. I said, my wife and I, we got our little apartments paid for where we live, just a little one-bedroom apartment, but at least it belongs to us and it's paid for. So I said, we don't need anything. So I said, and the Lord told me not to sell it, so I'm not going to sell it. So anyway, I didn't sell it. Well, within another year or two, they start developing this behind me over here, this over here on this end of me, these lots over here right now. You can go over there right now and look where they're building these new streets, just right across the fence from me. The lots are $150,000 for a 1 acre lot. $150,000, 1 acre. And the houses are going to be from $250,000 to $500,000. And then over here on this side, these lots over here are $150,000 plus. And the houses are going to be from, what was it? $400,000 to $750,000. They're building two already. So I don't know what God's going to do here. I don't know whether he wants to have a little church here so that as this area, which right up here in Harvest, just 2 or 3 years ago, there was not a house in Harvest. Now there's 300, and there's going to be 3,000 when they get through. 3,000. Some of those people are going to need a healing church somewhere. You know that?
Amen.
And there ain't a lot of healing churches around, is there? It's difficult to teach people how to walk in divine health, is it not? In fact, when Dave and I, when we talk about family members, she's got family members that's so difficult to convince them that God heals. Well, I've got family members just like that myself. You know, in fact, I remember one time we went out here to Cross Plains. We had a family reunion, and one of my first cousins, which has known me forever, you know, and said, what we walked in, she said, well, Thurman, how's things going? I said, oh, things are great. And she said, how's the ministry going? I said, oh, man, it's fantastic. I said, Jesus is doing all kinds of wonderful things. He's healing the sick. I said, we're seeing children healed and all kinds of stuff. She said, come on now, get real. Tell me something that's real. So then I go to a funeral with Dave, and I take Dave with me when we go to the funeral over in East Texas, and my cousin died, and he was a very well-respected deacon in the Baptist church, I will have to say, but he was involved in a car wreck one night during a rainstorm and run into a tree and killed him. Dave and I went over there, and when I run into one of my cousins there, also first cousin, she said, Thurman, how's things going? I said, oh, things are great. I said, Jesus is just doing great things. In fact, I said, this guy right here with me. I said, he had an incurable disease. And I said, we prayed for him and he got completely well. I said, oh, there's Patty. I need to go over and talk to Patty. That was the wife of the man that got killed. So I walked away from them. And when I walked away, my first cousin looked at Dave and said, Dave, is Thurman telling us the truth?
Wow.
Do you understand when I say I have trouble teaching people how to walk in divine health? In Matthew 17:20, let's look at Matthew 17:20, and I want to just see if that's where I want to go. And let's start at verse 15. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and he's sore vexed. Oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. Now this boy is having a seizure, and a seizure is demons, just like it is right here. But he says, into the water. He said, and I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Before I read any further, I got to tell you what happened last Sunday right here. Most of you don't know this. But last Sunday, there's a lady that I know very well, and she lives a good hour, hour and a half drive from here, over east of here. And she got sick on Monday, and she kept praying and asking the Lord, to heal her. And the Lord kept telling her, if you'll go let Thurman pray for you, I'll heal you. Now, why does God do that? Why? Why is he not healing her? Her husband prays for her. She don't get healed. She fights this all week long. And she's sore. She's in pain. And she's sick. And she, at least four times in that week, 5 days, 6 days, whatever it was, the Lord told her, said, go see Thurman and let him pray for you and I'll heal you. So anyway, she wouldn't do it. So Sunday morning, last Sunday morning, she walks into the room where her husband's sitting there watching some show on television, a Christian show, church. And she said, I sat down there beside my husband and said, a man on the screen, which I don't know who he was, pointed his finger right out the screen and said, if you're sick, go find you a healing pastor and let him pray for you.
Wow.
Now, isn't that a coincidence that she sat down there? Where did that come from? Does God love us?
Yes.
Does he want us to walk in divine health?
Yes.
And what he has to go through to get our attention is out of this world. Y'all understand? So she said, honey, if you'll take me out to Thurman's place, I want him to pray for me. He said, honey, I got too many things going on today. I can't possibly drive you all the way over there and come back. I just can't do it. She said, well, then I'm going to drive myself. He said, well, I really don't want you to drive yourself. You're not feeling well. She said, but if you ain't taking me, I'm going. He said, okay, I just can't take you, honey. I just can't. You're going to have to drive yourself. So when I come out at, what time was it? 1:45 when I usually come through after I go change clothes after I've been studying all morning, and she was sitting in my front office. I said, well, what are you doing here? And she said, I've been in pain all week, and said, the Lord has told me several times, I've come have you pray for me and he'll heal me. But she said, this morning when I sat down beside my husband, a pastor, looked right out at that screen and said, if you're sick, go find you a healing minister and let him pray for you. And so she said, I'm here for you to pray. We prayed for her, thanked the Lord, and got up and walked into this service, and she was instantly healed. Praise the Lord. Does God know who his healing pastors are?
Yes.
Does he use them for his glory?
Yes.
That same pastor that prayed for that woman and got healed stood up here last Sunday morning to talk and couldn't talk. Was any of you here that saw that? I couldn't speak. I mean, my throat was choked up. So I looked over there at Mike and I said, Mike, would you pray for me that I can talk? And Mike stood up right there and prayed for me, and we thanked the Lord. And then I went back, and by the time I said three words, what happened to my voice? Lord, we thank you for showing out. But we do thank you and praise you because we know who did it, don't we? And that's why God wants each one of us to see that here at this church, we can call on someone. That's why I didn't pray for myself. That's why it moved to my heart to have Mike pray for me, because Mike prayed and God answered Mike's prayer. And I guarantee by the time I'd spoken three words, my voice was just as clear as it could be. Wasn't it, Miss Judy? And aren't we glad we serve a God that loves to show out? That's the way I look at that. Don't you? He's a God that loves to show out. And I just praise him and thank him and worship him for all the things. Just like Dave said, if you come out here, the first thing you've got to learn to say is praise the Lord. Because if we walk through this place, in fact, here a while back, I walked through the minister room up there where Dave's office, where he does the CDs. And as I walked through, there was nobody in the room whatsoever, I didn't think. I got about halfway across, and nearly at the end, I said, praise the Lord. And of course, when I did it, Kathy said, Pastor. I said, oh, I didn't see you. Kathy, I didn't know you were there. She said, I was behind the wall here. But she said, I'm doing the stamps. But she said, I thought you were going to get all the way across this room without saying praise the Lord. She said, I've been here for 9 years, and I've never been in this room when you walk all the way across it, except you say praise the Lord probably at least 2, 3, or 4 times. She said, you praise the Lord. And I thought this morning you were going to get all the way across and not say praise, but I didn't make it. Praise the Lord. Is he worthy of our praise? Yes, he's worthy of our praise. And look what he says here. For my son, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, and oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Next verse. Then Jesus answered and said, I got a feeling this is what he's going to say to us. Oh, you faithless and perverse bunch. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured that very hour. I will have to say, what makes this a whole lot easier, Jesus had the power to do this. But I have spoken and prayed over many young men, but mostly men, very few girls, but mostly men that have this epileptic seizure. And I have learned from the Lord what causes it. Now then, at first, you can rebuke the devil. You can command him to leave. You can do all kinds of things, and he don't go away. I mean, that's the ministry that most of us have. We pray, but it doesn't happen. If there is ever a legal set of attorneys on this earth is Jesus and the devil. Jesus is the best attorney in the universe. But the next best one right behind him is Satan. He is an attorney. He's the accuser of the brethren. Any of you ever heard him over in Revelations called the accuser of the brethren? You ever heard in Matthew and Luke where he says that the accuser of their brethren? And then he says, you remember over there whenever Jesus himself came to Peter and said, Peter, Satan has requested to sift you like wheat. You remember that scripture?
Yes.
What does that mean? Can I put that in another term for you?
Yes.
The term Satan has come and filed a lawsuit on you.
Yep.
Satan has filed a lawsuit on you. How could Satan file a lawsuit? How can you file a lawsuit on someone? You have to have legal reason to do that. Is that true?
Yes.
Now then, if the scripture says in 1 John 5:18, my true children, which is you and me, does not sin. We do not practice sin. We keep ourselves from evil, and therefore the evil one cannot touch us. Now then, if that's true, and it's got to be, because it's in God's word, right? If you walk in obedience to God's word, the devil cannot just come up and say, okay, I'm going to kill Thurman today, because he has no legal right. I can't just walk up and say, there's Miss Judy right there. I'm going to file a lawsuit on her today. What for? I don't know. I just want to file a lawsuit on her. But she hadn't done anything against me. So what judge or what attorney would take a case like that? If I say, I'm going to sue her. They said, what for? I said, well, I don't know. I just want to sue her. Does that make any sense?
No.
You see why the devil doesn't do things to us if he has no legal claim. But what if we had done something really bad? What if somebody had really done something bad to me? What if they had done crazy things? And I said, okay, I'm going to sue you. Now, of course, that would tell you what kind of a Christian I am, because Paul tells us we're not supposed to sue one another as Christians. But I'm trying to tell you how this works in the kingdom. If Satan comes and files a lawsuit on you, do you know what the scripture says to do? If the accuser of the brethren accuses you, Jesus tells you clearly to agree with your accuser quickly. In other words, you're sick. You're afflicted. The thing to do is, if you're sick and afflicted and you've been prayed for, and the curse has been broken, and you still are not getting well, the thing to do is to go with your mate, especially a husband and a wife. The two of you go together, and you go to the third heaven. You know, John Hagee has just made a teaching on the third heaven. I made my first teaching on the third heaven probably 20 years ago. But you know, that's okay. It doesn't make any difference when you hear it. But I made a teaching on the third heaven, that what you can do from the third heaven. How that the lawyers, when I made these teachings 20 years ago, as you go to the throne of grace, the Lord tells you as his child to come, how?
Boldly.
Boldly into the throne room of God. Why can you and I come boldly in there if we got a lawyer over here that's saying, I accuse him of sin. He has done this. Now then I file a lawsuit to get Thurman. So I can come boldly up there and say, Lord, I am agreeing with the devil, with Satan. I made a mistake. Yes, I got bitter with somebody. Yes, I got into unforgiveness with somebody. I probably even done things that I've forgotten. But I'm agreeing with my adversary. I have sinned. But Lord, now I repent of my sin. And when I repent of my sin, I'm no longer bound by that. I am redeemed. Now then, I turn it over into the hands of my attorney, Jesus the Christ. Now then, Jesus, I thank you for taking my case. And he steps up before the Father and says, Father, what Thurman did was sin. But 2,000 years ago, I went to the earth and I paid the price for his sin. You heard him repent of that sin? When he repented, it's covered. So now then, Lucifer, you have no legal claim to Thurman. You can leave him alone. Now then, if you don't know this, if you don't know this and you don't know how to do this, the devil will get right in there with you. He'll put your face down in the ground. He'll do everything just like Jesus said. Peter, Satan has requested to sift you like wheat. In other words, file a lawsuit against you. But I have prayed for you that your faith does not fail. You stand on the word. But today, with the blood of Jesus, anytime we're not getting our prayers answered, and that happens to lots of people. I used to wonder why I couldn't get prayers answered. In fact, I will tell you that a good place to go, just like this story we're reading about here in the scripture, when these boys could not get this boy healed, Jesus came on the scene and he knew how to remit sins. He didn't say that right there, but he knows how to do that. Because at one place they asked him, are you trying to tell us that you can forgive sin? He says, is it easier to say your sins be forgiven or to stand up and walk? He said, so that you may know, he says, stand up and walk. So the boy stood up and he was healed. Now then he says, you can't get up as long as there's still sin. The devil still has right to you. And if you will go to the throne room of God, to the third heaven, and I mean, I forget now who, some lady listened to my third heaven teaching here a while back, and she come back and talked to me, and she said, that teaching, she said, where in the world were you 20 years ago when I needed that? I said, ma'am, 20 years ago, I didn't understand that myself. And I didn't, but I understand it now. So anytime I pray for something and I don't get an answer, first of all, that's why I teach you and I teach you these principles, and you, all of you that's been here very many times know that before I always say at a healing school, before you come up to be prayed for, what is the first thing I tell you to do? Confess your sin. Is that right? Get rid of all sin. So, and how many sins do you think you can hide from God? None. So you ain't no use to even try. If you're trying to hide it, forget it. Your healing ain't going to happen. Because the devil is sitting right there saying, oh, look, she's got this sin or he's got this sin right here. And so I have legal right. And the Lord's saying, Father, he's right. He's a legalist just like I am. And he's claiming the right to that man or that woman. Now then, they've not confessed their sin. So since the sin has not been confessed, it's not covered yet by my blood. You have to repent of your sin. Do we all understand that?
Yes.
Why did God say in his word that if some people will tell you, and I hear this all the time, that Jesus paid the price for every sin, past, present, and future. Well, I will agree to that to a degree, but I will have to say, if you sin today and you do not confess that it's sin, it's not covered yet.
Right.
It's covered when you ask for it. But so that's why the Lord says, confess your sin and I will restore you to righteousness. Is that right?
Yes.
So whatever you do, don't carry sin. So when people, boys and girls, and mostly boys, have problem with this lunatic problem, this situation we're talking about here in the scripture in Matthew, get them to repent of sin. Now then, with Randy, I love to tell Randy's story. Randy come out here and he had all kinds of bad stuff between his parents. I mean, all kinds of bad stuff. He had not been raised up in a good family. He had alcohol problems, drug problems, all kinds of problems, and problems with his dad. When I heard all that, I said, well, first thing, Randy, you've got to confess all that is sin before God, and you got to make God a promise that you'll stop doing those things. And so he did. I said, now then, I can break the power of the devil in your life because you have repented of sin. Now then, since you've done that, I'm going to kick the devil out, and I'm going to guarantee you by faith you're never going to have another seizure. Somebody said, how in the world can you guarantee that? Well, God says I have to believe with no doubt in my heart. So if I say I don't think it's going to work or maybe it's going to work, there ain't no faith in what I'm doing. And so it's not going to work. You have to get to the point where you can guarantee God's word. If you can't guarantee God's word, you're in trouble. Is that right?
Yes.
I mean, after all, he's only God. And so if he's only God, you ought to be able to at least guarantee his word. So anyway, Randy, he had a whole pocket. He had a leather jacket on, and he had a whole two pockets full of medicine. He said, what do I do with this medicine? I said, that's between you and God. I'm not going to tell you to throw it away, but I said, if it was me, I'd throw it all away. But I said, you just trust God to do whatever. Well, he called me in a few days and said, Pastor, when I got home, he said, he was over at the field house that day. We had a healing school at the field house. He said, when I got back to Denton on my bike, he said, all those bottles of medicine were gone. I had lost them on the road. So I said, well, that's God trying to tell you. He never rode all the way out there and didn't lose a single bottle. But on the way back, he lost all of them after he'd been prayed for. So I said, you know, you're healed. I said, now then, make sure you never agree with the enemy again in any kind of sin. I mean, walk in love with everybody. And I said, be careful what you say. Make sure you speak good things. He goes 7 or 8 years without a seizure. Then he comes to a healing school. Hey, he comes to several healing schools. But after 7 or 8 years, he come and he said, Pastor, I had a problem last month. I said, what happened? He said, I had a seizure. I said, well, what did you do? Because see, the devil is still standing right there. He's got a demon there saying, if this boy sins, we had legal right to him for years. If he sins, you shoot up the red flare to let me know and we'll get him right quick. I said, so you got to be careful. So anyway, he said, well, I was required by my job to go get a physical. And so he said, I went to get this physical. And while they were doing the physical, the doctor looked at my records and says, oh, Randy, I see here that you have seizures. And he said, I said, yes, I do. Oh, you heard something wrong? He agreed, did he not? I have seizures. Yes, I do. And guess what the enemy done to him instantly? Man put him on the floor with a grand mal seizure. He hadn't had a seizure in 7 or 8 years, and now he's on the floor kicking around down there screaming with a seizure. In fact, they had even had to send him to an institution for a while. He was so bad. He finally got out and come to, and he said, I know what I did wrong. My confession did not line up with the Word of God. So he said, I confessed the wrong thing. Well, we repented for that. We went one more time, went to the throne room of God. We broke the curse, kicked out the devils, and prayed the prayer of healing. And guess how many seizures Randy's had since then?
None.
That's right, none. And he won't have any more because he's never going to confess that. Are you permanently healed?
Permanently.
Amen. Absolutely. Guarantee. I'm permanently healed. That girl's got it. I mean, your words, when the Lord says life and death in the power of your tongue, he meant what he said, did he not? How long? He's not happy with these boys. In verse 17, then Jesus said unto them, oh, you faithless and perverse bunch, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring this boy to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Now then, next verse, 19 and 20. Then came the disciple to Jesus and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For truly I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and only a few things will be impossible for you.
Nothing.
Is that not what he said?
No.
Now, surely, he didn't mean what he said. Did he really?
Yes.
Okay, so what should you and I, if we're all sons and daughters of God, which I hope we are, if we're sons and daughters of God, and we learn how the principles of the kingdom works, what should be impossible with us? So you see now where it's not a problem for your healing, right? Now, it's not a problem back here with the young lady with the milk, right? Is that difficult for God?
No.
Just think, not only can you do that, I remember one time when I was still working as an engineer, there was my director. He called me one day and said, Thurman, on this certain truck, the platform is on the front up there. We got a problem with it, and we're having some people get hurt on that platform. Can you come up with some kind of an answer to solve that problem? I said, sure, no problem, I guarantee. So I go down to the shop where they have one of these trucks sitting there. Now, what did the Lord say we as children of God could ask for?
Anything.
And what's going to be impossible with us?
Nothing.
If we believe. So I look at this truck and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I need a latch that you will design and show me how to put it on this truck so it'll be completely, perfectly impossible for this thing to ever fail again and nobody will ever get hurt on this again. I thank you for showing me that latch in Jesus' name. And I stood there and that latch visibly appeared on that truck. I saw it. I run and grab me a pad and I start making a notes. And Bob said, what are you doing? I said, I'm drawing this latch that I want you to build to put on this truck. When I got it all drawn out, he looked at that and he looked at the truck and he says, wow, that's a great latch. That'll work. Why was that a great latch? Where did I get it from? From the Lord. And so Bob designed that latch and put it on that truck. And once we got it on there, I told him, I said, yeah, and make it a certain way and everything. And he said, boy, he said, you know these guys around here. You know they're a bunch of brutes, don't you? I said, oh, yeah. I know how they treat equipment. So I said, I want to make it foolproof. So after we got it done and everything, and I went down there and I operated it a few times, let it roll out, and I slammed it back in, kind of hard, but not really hard. So I went up into one of the other offices, and I'm not too far away from the shop where they're working. And I'm up there, and all of a sudden I hear this kabam! What in the world is that? And then all of a sudden, kabam! I thought, what in the world? Somebody's trying to tear up something. Let me run down and see what it is. I go down and I look, and here's this truck mechanic. He's got this latch built, and whammed as hard as he can throw it. I thought, what are you doing? Oh, he said, he didn't call me pastor. He said, Thurman, I didn't know you were anywhere around. I just wanted to see if this thing would stand this kind of abuse because this is what's going to happen to it when it gets out there on the field. I said, so how's it holding up? He said, perfect. Perfect. Every truck that catered to DC-9 for all these corporations that I work for in the next 2 years, those trucks were retrofitted with that, and today they still use that platform, and nobody has ever gotten hurt on one of those again. If you want to go to God and you want to learn how to do things that'll really work, where should you go? To the Lord. I mean, you know how long I could have worked, designed, and done all kinds of stuff and probably never, ever, ever come up with something even close to this good? It might have taken me months or years. That's like this friend of mine. He worked for Southwest Airlines before he retired. And Southwest had an aileron problem on the 737. And he was in a meeting one day, and they had the engineers from Boeing and everywhere else here, and they were trying to figure out what's causing this problem with this Boeing 737 aileron problem. They spent 2 or 3 days analyzing this system, and finally this friend of mine, he said, you know, I'm going to go to my office and I'm going to pray and ask God to show us what's wrong with this airplane. Now, you don't hear that in a meeting with a bunch of men very often. He goes back to his office and gets on his knees and said, Father, I know you don't want nobody to get hurt on these airplanes. I need to know what's causing this problem with the ailerons on the 737. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. And the Lord spoke to him and told him the answer. So he goes out there and said, hey, guys, I got it. It's in this valve, this hydraulic valve. The problem's in this valve. One of the other engineers jumped up and said, I've checked that valve out completely, and I guarantee there's not a problem with that valve. He said, well, I guarantee you're wrong because God told me that's the one where the valve is. So y'all go back to Washington and you take this thing apart and see if you can't find this problem. It will duplicate. You will find this problem. A few days later, they contacted him and said, you were absolutely right. That valve was the problem. We've made a modification, and that fixed it, and no problem. And from that day to this, Southwest has never had another problem with that aileron on a 737. And it was done because God showed us how. When you find a man that knows how to touch the hand of God, what did he say would be impossible with us? Why don't we start believing him? Why don't we start believing God? Now then, if you want to learn how to pray for people, so that, and isn't it fun? How many of you have ever, since you've been coming to church here, how many of you have ever prayed for somebody outside of the church and saw God answer your prayer for those people? Wow, look at that. Look at that. Isn't it wonderful to serve a living God that'll answer your prayer? And you know he answers your prayer. And some of you have even heard God talk to you, right? Okay, that's really fun when the Lord starts talking to you. I love it. I love it. In fact, the other day I was talking to Kim and Scott, and they were somewhere, I don't know where, but there was a storm come up, and maybe it was at a church. I'm not sure where they were, but they were somewhere. And when they saw the storm coming up and they said there's going to be hail and everything, Kim, she just runs out there and boy, she starts serving notice on that storm. You will not come here. You will not drop any hail here. There will be no high wind here. In the name of Jesus, I command you to go on by with no damage. In Jesus' name. And there was two or three young men there. And they said, wow, we've never seen anybody do that. But the thing went away with no hail or nothing. Now then, if you learn that you have that kind of authority and that kind of power, what can you do? What did Jesus tell us we could do? What's impossible with us? So why should we ask him about everything? I mean, do you want an answer? I do, don't you? So if Jesus said, ask and you shall receive.
That's right.
Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You know, seek and you shall find. All everybody that asks receives. So with promises like that, why should we let the enemy deceive us? Wow. So you're healed and you're going to stay healed, right, girl?
Yes, sir.
You're going to have a new wife, huh?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. She's going to be a different girl. You know, I think about when a husband learns to pray for the wife. If any of you guys in here do not pray regularly for your wives, you need to get on your knees and repent before God. You need to make sure that you, anytime your wife has a need, if she has a need, you should be right there as her husband, her spiritual head, to pray for your wife and pray in faith, believing these scriptures, that if you pray believing, God's going to answer your prayer for your wife and he's going to answer and do something great for your wife or your family. You know, you should, I mean, I can think about how when Dave's kids was little, when he only had two or three. How sometimes I remember when little John got hit one time with a plastic baseball bat. One of the other kids was slinging the bat and they hit John in the head. And so it's a plastic bat, but it still hurt. And so, oh man, he's a tough little guy though, you know, and he's standing there and his dad says, son, you want me to pray for you? And about that time I walked in the back door and he says, no, daddy, I need the big guns for this. I want Papa T to pray for me. I just like to pass out. I need the big guns for this. I want Papa T to pray for me. That's when they were young and didn't know how good a prayer daddy could pray. But now then, after all these years, and they've seen daddy answer their prayers, they never come to Papa T no more. When they need a big gun, they go to daddy. And that's the way every child should be raised in a home, going to the big guns, which is daddy. You know, and if they do go to the big guns, which is their dad, their father on this earth, and he prays and the pain goes away or they get healed or the knot goes away. That day I prayed for John when I reached up, he had a big old knot on his head. And I prayed just a simple little prayer, Father, take away the boy's pain and take away that lump in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, it's done. And maybe quoted a scripture or something. And probably 15, 20 minutes later, I come back and I said, John, how is it? He said, I have no pain and the knot is almost completely gone. So see, should we all be able to do that?
Yes.
You should be able to do that for your children. If you're a dad, you know, if you've got children, learn how to pray for your wife and those children. Because if you will learn how to pray, I guarantee as the spiritual head of your home, God will answer your prayer. He wants to answer your prayer for your wife and your children. Does he not?
Yes.
He wants you to. So anyway, I'll say something here that so I don't forget it. In the morning at 11 to 12, we're going to get to be on Daystar Television. Yeah, so we're going to be there on Marcus and Joni's show. I don't know what Marcus wants to talk about. I think he probably wants to talk about Caitlin because this week he had his office contact us and they wanted pictures of me and they wanted pictures of my granddaughter and the mother and grandmother. And so I think he's going to want to talk about that. I don't know, but we're just going to let God be glorified.
Amen.
Whatever he wants to do, it is an awesome testimony.
Yes.
And if you've never listened to the story of my granddaughter, it is an awesome testimony. And I'm also going to try my best, not try, I will take some pictures of Jenna. And if I don't know if we'll get to air those, whether they'll see those, but I at least want Marcus and Joni to see those. I want them to see the kind of things that our God is doing at this ministry. And the more testimonies we have, the better, right? Yeah, and of course, the testimonies we have, like Dave, you know, that's 10 to 15 years old, and we've got lots of those people that have been healed. Even Cheryl, you know, when I prayed for her 15 years ago, she was healed instantly of an incurable disease, and that's, she's had no problem. And she, but yet, this disease she had is not curable. Man can't cure it, but God did. And so, isn't God awesome? He's awesome. We love Him, we serve Him, we praise Him, we thank Him for everything He does. And yes, yeah, the show will air 11 o'clock till 12 o'clock that morning, and then 8 to 9 o'clock that night on Daystar. So anyway, I want us to think about this scripture we just read here. When Jesus said, why could we not cast him out? We need to ask ourselves that question. Now then, like I say, anytime you try to cast out a spirit out of somebody, if you haven't at least remitted their sin, chances are you're not going to be able to get that thing out. You have got to remit people's sin. But if the people are conscious, you need to have them confess their own sin. Not you do it for them, but they need to be able to remit their sins themselves and get rid of sin. People need to realize that sin is what causes our problem on this earth. If you've got an adversary, how good do you think this adversary is? I think he's a top-notch lawyer, don't you? He's Satan, and the reason I know he's a top-notch lawyer because God made him. If God the Father made everything that's made, and He made Lucifer, then he is an extremely good lawyer. And his demons are extremely good at what they do. And they will come to steal, kill, and to destroy. And so once you get aware of this system that's going on, if you've never read that in Matthew 5 and Luke 12, and over there where Peter's talking about with Jesus that Satan's requested to sift him like wheat, or over in Revelation 12 or 22, whatever it is, about the accuser of the brethren, If you've not looked at any of those scriptures, I meditated on those for years before I finally got the revelation of this law case that's going on in heaven. When I finally got a hold of that, I started making this teaching on the third heaven, and that there's two great attorneys up there, Jesus and the devil. And he's accusing you and me for everything we do something wrong. Now, if you don't do anything wrong, can he accuse you? No, he absolutely cannot. Just like the scripture says, he can't touch you. If you don't sin, he can't touch you. And so, but if you do sin, I can just see the beast. People used to say, Thurman, when you first started talking about demons, you talk like there's a demon under every rock. And I said, well, I was wrong. They said, well, yeah, I thought that was a little too many. I said, no, there's 100 under every rock. There ain't just a demon under every rock. There's 100 demons under every rock. And those demons are sitting there waiting to send a message to the Lucifer to say, Thurman just messed up. You just messed up. I mean, he's got demons that are out there waiting for you to sin. Don't you ever think for a second you're going to get by with anything. If you break God's spiritual laws, he's going to get you, and he's going to get you quickly. So you don't have to be. All you got to do if you make a mistake is say, Lord, I'm sorry. I mean, don't be hesitant. I mean, don't quickly. Maybe the first thing you say, Lord, I repent. Now, Satan, I'm agreeing with you. I did sin right there, but I've already repented. So you can't touch me. You see what I mean? And then the devil says, well, he's right. He already confessed the sin. So he said, I have no legal rights. So the lawsuit, it's over. And I don't want the lawsuit to be able to go on. And you know what happens when it goes on? And when it goes on and we don't repent of sin? First thing you know, you're down in the hospital. First thing you know, you're tormented. You're in excruciating pain like you were all that time. Finally, God delivered you. But when you learn the principles, when you learn those things, just like the Lord said here, that you can say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing. So if we really learn all the principles of the kingdom and how it works, we can get you a partner. If you have a problem and you just pray, if you remit your sin and confess your sin, and then somebody prays with you and the problem does not go away within a day or a few days, then you've got to realize that, hey, somehow there's something still left there in that courtroom that's giving the devil legal right to torment me. Because God's promises are always yes and amen. You know, so when you find this out, you will make sure that you repent of everything, and then you'll kick that devil out. And sometimes, in fact, I had a great example of that here a few years ago. I've told this several times, but whenever I read a fax, that's how simple it was. When I read a fax about if certain things were to happen in our company, they may close the engineering division, which I was the director of engineering. When I read that, I said, gee, if they close the engineering division, what might happen to me? I don't work for that company. Who do I work for? The Lord. But right there, I'm working for them. And when I said that, immediately a demon of hell hit me, and I began to stop up and sinus fluid run out of my nose, and I repented. I mean, although I repented quickly, but the devil already had got his inroad in, and he was doing this to me. And for 4 days and nights, I rebuked him, commanded him to leave. I mean, I got violent. I mean, violent with the devil. After 4 days, I finally kicked him out. When I kicked him out and he left and my head was totally unstopped, I saw a banner flying out there in the clouds in front of me. It said Matthew 11:12. Matthew 11:12. What does that say? Anybody know that? Okay, so it's up there now. Until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. Where's the kingdom of heaven? It's in us. But the violent takes it by force.
Amen.
So when you get violent, you can kick him out.
Right.
You know, some spiritual beings are a little more tough to kick out than others. Are they not? Yeah. Don't give up. Your brother that's bigger than all of them, right?
Right.
Wow. Yes, honey?
Someone asked about the things that are going on, the condition of the world, the fact, you know, possible wars, the comets coming by, and it's brought fear into their life. How do you address that?
Oh, you just learn who you are in Christ. Who are you? I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a child of the King. I work for Jesus Christ. He's my brother. I've confessed all my sin. My God the Father is my dad. I go to Psalms 91 and I read Psalm 91. There ain't nothing can touch me. As long as I make Him the Most High God my dwelling place, I'm willing to say of the Lord, He's my refuge, my strength, and nothing shall come near me. No pestilence, nothing can touch me. Nothing. He sends His angel and gives them charge over me so that nothing can touch me. I'm a daughter of the King. Now then, if you didn't see that story the other day on Daystar, there was a great story on Daystar about a missionary. This guy had come from Mexico to Houston to get some parts for the ministry. On the way back, he's crossed over the Mexican border, and there, a little ways down the road, there's a Mexican man walking. And he said, well, that poor guy, he said, he don't have a car. I'll just pick him up and tell him about Jesus. And so whenever he stopped, the guy got in and said, you want to ride? He said, sure. So the guy gets in, and he gets in. And, of course, he said, we don't drive nowhere. The guy reaches in his pocket, pulls out a gun, puts it in my side, says, pull over. I'm going to take your car, and I'm going to kill you. Now then, what do most of us do when that happens? Oh, please don't kill me. I got a wife and kids at home, please. That guy don't care about that. He's going to kill you. So he said, I stopped the car and said, first thing I told him, I looked him right in the eye and said, you can't touch me. You can't kill me because I'm a son of God. So the guy, he told him, get out of the car. So he said, we got out of the car and we got outside the car. And he said, walk out there in that field. So I said, okay, I walked out there in that field. So we walked out there and got about 100 yards from the car. He said, now then take your clothes off and your shoes off and your billfold, give them to me and I'm going to kill you. He said, I looked at him again and said, you can't kill me. I'm a son of God. Who do you think you're dealing with here, mister? You're dealing with a son of God. I have power and authority over you. The guy said, okay, then I'll just take your clothes and stuff. He said, he picks up my clothes, my billfold and everything, and gets nearly back to the car. And all of a sudden, the Spirit reminds me, you have forgotten who you are. Tell that guy to bring your clothes back. Say, hey, I'm a son of God. Bring my clothes back right this minute. This is my clothes, not yours. And the guy turns around and walks back out there and says, I've never seen anybody like you. Okay, here's your clothes. You can put them back on. The guy puts his clothes on. They get in the car. And he said, now then, I'm going to shoot you. He said, you can't. He said, the guy is right here this close and says, bam, 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 five times. And he said, I told you you couldn't hit me. And he said, the guy couldn't. He said, I can't believe I didn't hit you. Five shots he shot him and didn't hit him because he's staying in total faith. When Jesus told us if we stay in faith, what belongs to us? Everything belongs to us as sons of God. So he said, I got back and I said, now then, mister, I got a wife and two kids at home waiting for me to get home so we can have dinner tonight. I'm going. If you want to ride with me, you can ride. If you want to stay, get out and stay. But you ain't going to hinder my problem today. I'm going. So the guy got in the car with him, drove down the road a little mile or two or three, and he finally said, okay, pull over right here. He said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to get out. He said, okay. So he said, I pulled over. The guy got out, and I drove off and went and had dinner with my wife and kids that night. A true story. This was on Daystar the other day. This is a true story. It happened. You know, if you don't believe that, then get a copy of Margie Mayfield back here. She done that. That's a woman, too.
That's right.
That wasn't a man. That's a woman. When that number one murderess and rapist crawled into her car, stuck the gun in her back and said, get in the car, scoot over and put your hands under your thighs and don't say a word or I'm going to blow your head off. What does most women do? Yeah, that's right. But she knew who she was because she had committed the entire book of Ephesians to memory. And when she gets in that, she scoots over, he gets in that car, she reaches up and put her hands on his shoulder and says, mister, you're not in charge here. I am in the name of Jesus. And before that day was over, that little girl led that murderess to faith in Christ, and he got saved and handed his gun to her, and she got him turned in, and the police come and picked him up. True story. True story. If you haven't heard Margie Mayfield's testimony back there, get a copy and listen. So if you're even concerned about what's going to happen with all the things going to happen, who are you? Are you a son of God? Are you a joint heir with Christ?
Yes.
Does everything belong to you?
Yes.
Is your brother God?
Yes.
Is God the Father your daddy?
Yes.
Are they bigger than any devil of hell on earth?
Yes.
Then what should we be afraid of?
Yes.
Nothing. Nothing. We just got to remember who we are. You got to remember to walk in faith. If you remember to walk in faith, then if you get your sins confessed, you're healed, you're delivered, you're made whole. Everything that was Jesus' belongs to you. All you got to do is know it. All you got to do is believe it. It's in the book. What did Jesus, Gracie, that scripture I just read there in Matthew 17, what did he say would be impossible with us?
Nothing.
So what do we not understand about that girl?
I don't know.
I don't know either. So we ought to be able to do something, right?
Right.
Right. Isn't it something?
Yes.
Father, I praise you and thank you for this group of people. Lord, I thank you for sending them here every Sunday where we can talk about your word. Lord, we're so grateful we have the mighty King, the Lord of lords and the God of gods. You're our Lord. You're our God. You're our Savior. You give us all these promises, which are yes and amen. You told us if we won't sin, then the evil one can't touch us. So Lord, help us to walk in no sin, walk holy in your presence. So we can walk in divine health, no sickness. And then, Lord, give Dave that revelation that he'll be able to teach your people that they really don't even have to die. Help him to have that real revelation and teach it to all of us, Lord. I tried to teach it. I didn't make it. Lord, use him to teach it. So, Lord, thank you for your word. It's in there. I've tried to teach it, but people have problems believing. So, Lord, help us to believe, especially in these last days. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.